thank you very much, FAO, for that information, and I think that is also true for WHO and Thailand. I'm sure you are satisfied. Seeing no any other flag, then we adopt the text at step 5-8 as it has been proposed. And then the next text is from CCFIX, proposed draft appendix to the guidelines on the judgment of equivalency of sanitary measures associated with food inspection and certification systems, and it's being proposed to be adopted as step 5-8. I see no objection, then we adopt. Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. De acuerdo con las observaciones de Colombia recogidas en el ALINORM 08315A, quiero expresar lo siguiente. Teniendo en cuenta que el citado documento surtió los trámites de procedimiento previstos, es importante que se avance y culmine la adopción. Sin embargo, hacemos la siguiente reconvención. Si bien el anteproyecto de apéndice aporta algunas aclaraciones a las directrices contenidas en el documento CAC GL53-2003, varios de sus ítems son similares en redacción y contenido y podría verse como un documento repetitivo de aspectos incluidos en la citada directriz y de otros aspectos contenidos en las directrices CA-GL34 del 99. En segundo lugar, lo anterior podría generar alguna confusión en su interpretación y haría difícil cumplir el objetivo que se busca de facilitar la aplicación de las directrices del documento CAC-GL53-2003 con la adopción del citado apéndice. En consecuencia, se recomienda a la Comisión del Códigos Alimentarios que una vez adoptado el apéndice a las directrices sobre la determinación de equivalencia de medidas sanitarias relacionadas con la inspección y certificación de alimentos, someta a la consideración del Comité del CODES sobre Sistemas de Inspección y Certificación de Importaciones y Exportaciones de Alimentos la propuesta de revisión de estas directrices, documento CAC-GL53-2003, para incorporar el contenido del apéndice en los ítems correspondientes y disponer de un sólido y solo documento que facilite aún más su aplicación por parte de los países. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Colombia. Indeed, the spirit should be not to have repetitive document in the Codex Alimentarius. But can I go to Australia, please, the chair of the committee, to see if the two texts were considered and consensus was arrived on what we have in front of us.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. If I heard the intervention from Colombia correctly, it was Colombia was suggesting that it supported the current appendix as it's drafted, but suggested that in terms of new work, that the proposition would be to amalgamate that appendix into the body of the guideline itself. So in terms of the documents as they stand there at present, there was support for it. But putting that aside, through the drafting group, there was a lot of discussion around ensuring that the appendix minimised any repetition. If you read through that particular appendix, it does make particular reference back to text, but doesn't verbatim lift text. So one of the guiding principles that both the working group, the physical working group that met, as well as the plenary session of the committee that spent a lot of time working through this document, one of the governing rules that we sought to abide by was to minimise just the repetitious generation of text in that document.
Thank you very much, Australia, and I'm sure Colombia has taken note of the explanation from the chairperson, and it was an observation rather than something that required to block the adoption of the text. Columbia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Entendemos la intervención del presidente del comité por parte de Australia, pero queremos que quede la constancia de que, según nuestro parecer, si hay algunas repeticiones y que se reconvenga al comité en el entendido de que se retome el documento del apéndice para que en una próxima sesión se analice junto con las directrices y se llegue a un solo documento. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you very much, Columbia. So what we'll do is we'll adopt this as step 5-8 and also invite the committee at the earliest possible opportunity to see possibilities of avoiding repetition and also merging the two documents. Any other observation? No, that will be our line of calls. Then the next text is from the Codex Committee on Food Labeling and is draft amendment to the guidelines for the production, processing, labeling, and marketing of organically produced foods, Annex 1 to include ethylene. It's being proposed to be adopted at step 8. Any objections to this proposal? Cuba, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. No se trata de una objeción propiamente. Cuba está de acuerdo con esta norma, pero desea que esta enmienda incluya también al mango y la papaya, lo que ya se había expresado en la reunión correspondiente del 36, la 36 reunión del Código de Etiquetado de los Alimentos, para que se incluya el mango y la papaya durante el proceso de maduración y en los cítricos para la desverdización. Nosotros sabemos que esto depende de que se presenten por nuestra parte los resultados científicos que están concluidos al correspondiente comité, ya que el párrafo 68 es claro en que se requiere de esto, y lo que solicitamos es que en la próxima reunión del Comité de Frutas, Vegetales y Hortalizas Frescas se revise este tema, porque se van a enviar todos los resultados científicos, de forma que cuando este análisis se haga, las directivas pudieran contemplar la adición de estas frutas en estas directrices. Gracias.
Thank you, Cuba, for that observation. And our information is we have standards for mango and papaya in the pipeline. In fact, at step 6, and when they come to the need to start considering whether ethylene or should be used or not should be used, we would invite Cuba to just give this information that we have given to this commission, and I think it will be useful. Any other observation, please? So we adopt the draft amendment at step 8 as it has been proposed. Can we go to the next text from the same committee on food labeling? Draft amendment to the general standard for the labeling of prepackaged foods, quantitative declaration of ingredients, and is being proposed to be adopted at step 8. Any observations against this? No? Thank you very much. Then we adopt at step 8. Then the next is also from the same committee, draft amendment to the guidelines for use of nutrition and health claims, definition of advertising, and is being proposed to be adopted at step 8. No objection. Thank you very much. We adopt a step 8. And then we go to the next committee on milk and milk products. Draft mode model export certificate for milk and milk products being proposed to be adopted at step 8. Costa Rica, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Quisiéramos hacer notar a esta comisión y agradecer al Comité de Leche y Productos Lácteos por el documento elaborado sobre el modelo de certificado de exportación para la leche y los productos lácteos. Sin embargo, hemos notado quizás alguna falta de claridad dentro del mismo modelo, y por ello nos atrevemos a plantear quizás tres observaciones, debido a que hay tres secciones en este modelo. La primera de ellas es que creemos que debe considerarse una homologación de términos utilizados dentro del mismo modelo, y al hablar de hay una incongruencia en cuanto hablamos de peso por unidad y luego peso neto. Creemos que debería indicarse peso neto por unidad y peso neto total, para así conocer y tener claro el tramitador de que este tema pues se refiere al total de unidades y no solo a una. Esto en parte pues nos ayuda. Esto nos ayuda, es importante esta información acerca del contenido real de cada unidad, tanto para el transportista como para los efectos aduanales, ya que se está solicitando información de producto ya envasado para su exportación. De la forma actual, el modelo no es claro si el peso neto es en relación con el peso por unidad, por lo que su aplicación quedaría sujeto a la interpretación del tramitador. Como segunda observación, en la sección 2, que habla sobre la procedencia de la leche y los productos lácteos, queremos hacer notar de que se establece como requisito de datos país de despacho. Sin embargo, nosotros consideramos que el país de despacho no necesariamente puede ser el país de procedencia del producto o el país de origen, y por tal la observación nuestra es que previamente a país de despacho debería indicarse país de origen o procedencia, así como también debería indicarse el punto de despacho. Esto por cuanto puede haber una diferencia entre estos dos tipos de información. Y como tercera observación y última, es que también en el punto 3 sobre el destino de la leche y los productos lácteos debe indicarse el punto de destino sumado al país de destino. Esto lo damos debido a que estos son datos fundamentales para poder facilitar la rastreabilidad del producto, que es un dato muy importante para favorecer los controles sanitarios y de inocuidad de estos mismos productos. Muchas gracias.
Thank you, Costa Rica. Indeed, we appreciate, we have to standardize terminology. We need consistency in the way we use the units. And can I take the liberty to go to New Zealand, please? And please confirm whether these issues were raised in the committee and if there was an agreement.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As chair of the committee, all I can say is that the certificate as presented before you was a consensus position developed at the committee and did take into account over several sessions harmonisation issues with other certification products and codex. And we are now, if we consider these points, we would be relitigating what was quite a protracted discussion in terms of trying to achieve a consensus position at the committee level. Thank you.
Thank you, New Zealand. And the question of different units being used differently in the same document?
Again, Mr. Chairman, it's it was quite difficult getting to the consensus position we have here, and the use of different units was considered by the committee in different contexts, and this was the consensus position. So I don't have any specific comments on the use of those units as presented.
Thank you very much, New Zealand, and also from the Secretariat desk, there isn't inconsistency in the units.
There is no inconsistency.
Yeah. Seeing no any other flag, then we would adopt the text at step 8 as it has been proposed. That's the draft model export certificate for milk and milk products. The next text is again from the same committee, milk and milk products. Proposed draft amendment to the list of additives of the codex standard for creams and prepared creams, codex standard A9-1976, and is being proposed to be adopted as step 5-8. Colombia, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Es solamente una cuestión de forma en la versión en español. Por tradición se ha venido utilizando la abreviatura de BPM para significar buenas prácticas de manufactura, en cambio de BPF, que según entiendo sería buenas prácticas de fabricación. Simplemente la solicitud es que se conserve en la versión en español BPM por BPF. Gracias, señor presidente.
Colombia, thank you very much. Maybe we can confirm what is in the text is the standard in the codex text. So what is used, being used now in the Spanish version is what is the standard in the codex stand text. So maybe the version you are proposing matches, it can make maybe the whole thing clearer. But to date, what we have in the text, in the Spanish text, is what we have in the other codex Spanish texts. And the Secretariat has confirmed that. So if there are no other observations, then we adopt the text at step 5-8.
There is omission of INS 472.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. European Community fully supports the adoption of this standard. However, there is, let's say, an outstanding clarification in relation to the position of INS number 472E, which was included in the provisions endorsed by CCFA. And it was our understanding that the Secretariat and the New Zealand Chair were aware of this, let's say, omission in transferring the work of CCFA into the standard to be adopted and would clarify the position. So we would appreciate if you could update us on where we are on that particular point. Thank you.
Thank you, European Community. That's exactly what we are discussing. No wonder I couldn't see your flag, although you took the floor. Secretary, please, could you explain?
Indeed, there was an omission in the stage of production of the report of Milk and Milk Products Committee, but this omission was noticed at a very early stage so that we could even allow to invite CCFA to endorse the whole provisions, including this omitted part. And the matter was again raised at the Exec Committee last week, and there was an agreement that this omission be reinstated in the standard, unless the Commission has any problem. Thank you.
I guess the Commission has no problem, and maybe New Zealand, please. I can see you have the flag. It's okay. Thank you very much. So we shall insert the omission. The next text, again, is from Codex Committee on Nutrition, Foods for Special Dietary Uses. Draft to revise the Codex Standard for Foods for Special Dietary Use for Persons Intolerant to Gluten. That's Codex Stand 118 of 1981, and the proposal is to adopt at Step 8. Any objections to this one? Germany, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Germany, on behalf of the Member States of the European Community, can support the adoption of the draft standard and wants to make the following statement at the CSC. The EC welcomes the results of the work undergone by the Codex Alimentarius concerning the draft standard for gluten-free foods, to address the particular nutritional requirements of people with celiac disease. The EC deems necessary to facilitate a consensus that would lead to the approval of a text. However, taking into consideration the lacunas still existing in relation with the risk assessment, the EC invites the Commission of the Codex Alimentarius and the Member States to foster information campaigns in order to ensure the correct use of the products labeled as gluten-reduced by the celiac patients. Moreover, the EC urges the scientific community to further develop the risk assessment relating to the oats food consumption by persons intolerant to gluten. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chairman, and that is a very good observation. And of course, we shall not put it in the whole text, but we shall find a summarized way of putting it in our report. And again, you see, as human beings, and slowly we are seeing it in the Commission, people flagging, saying we appreciate the good work done by the subsidiary body, the committee, we support. So those things, being human beings, they are highly appreciated and motivating. Thank you very much. Then the next text is from the same committee. It's the draft advisory list of nutrient compounds for use in foods for special dietary uses intended for infants and young children. That's the guideline number 10 of 1979, and is being proposed to be adopted as step 8.
Australia,
please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Australia supports the adoption of the standard, but would like to raise an editorial addition that we would like deleted. Specifically, there are 5 references to Food Standards Australia New Zealand as a source of purity requirements in column 3 of the advisory lists in Part A and Part C. I'm happy to provide those references to the Secretariat, and we'd just like those corrected and deleted, if you would. Thank you.
Thank you, Australia, for drawing that to our attention. It's important we should have the current text. And I should also mention that in our notes, for the draft that we have just adopted, that one on gluten, French also did submit a correction on the language, on the French text, very much in order. It's a question of straightening up the language, and we appreciate, and that will also be done. So this text from the Codex Committee on Nutrition for Food for Special Dietary Uses, draft advisory list of nutrient compounds for use in foods for special dietary uses intended for infants and young children. It's now adopted as step 8 with the updating that will be provided by, on the references that will be provided by Australia.
Can you read the...
We also want to make some corrections on the English version again. We have noted that there is no purity body abbreviated as FP in Part C advisory list of amino acids and other nutrients for the use in foods for special dietary uses intended for infants and young children. For 1.22, L-arginine, L-aspartam, page 68 of Alnom 0831/31/26, and this is only in the English version. Indeed, this was a typing error, and is regretted, and it will be corrected accordingly. Thank you very much. Can I now take you quickly to the other text from the Codex Committee on Natural Mineral Waters? is a proposed draft amendment to sections 3.2 and 6.3.2 of the Codex Standard for Natural Mineral Waters. That's Codex Standard 108 of 1981. And the proposed amendment is proposed to be adopted as step 5.8. Any objections to this adoption? No? Thank you very much. Then we have adopted...
Chile.
Who's that?
Chile.
Chile. Oh, sorry, my friend Chile.
Está bien. Gracias por recordar que soy su amigo. Efectivamente, así. Chile, en la reunión del Comité de Contaminante, efectuó una reserva en la sección 3.2 debido a que el agua proveniente de manantiales, por su situación geográfica y geológica, tiene valores más altos para algunos elementos como el boro, el manganeso, el arsénico y el flúor. Por tanto, queremos expresar nuestra reserva en ese aspecto. Gracias, señor presidente.
Thank you, Chile, and indeed we shall record your reservation. Secretary has housekeeping announcements, please. Secretary, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Mañana hay una reunión del grupo LAC a las 8 en Salón Jesse 6. There will be another meeting of the countries of Near East region tomorrow over the lunchtime, starting at 13:15, quarter past one, in room 7. There will be another meeting of countries of G77. The countries of G77 are invited to attend a meeting that will take place tomorrow morning in room 4. In room 4, on the ground level, from 8:30 to 9:30. They want to discuss a few issues such as elections, codex structure and mandate, and other technical matters. The convener is the delegation of Malaysia. These are three groups of three meetings for groups of countries. And I would like to remind the delegations that the nomination period for the candidates for the chairperson is still open until tomorrow noon. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, and ladies and gentlemen, at this time, I would like to suspend the proceedings of the Commission and we'll resume discussions tomorrow morning.
Did you have the one I gave you?
As announced this morning, we will now have the presentation of the WHO Food Safety Award. And I'll please ask the delegates to remain in their seats during the presentation of the award. And it's now my pleasure to invite the Assistant Director General of WHO, Dr. David Hyman, to take the floor for the presentation of the award. Please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I'm very pleased to be back with you this evening. And before we begin, I'd like to invite Dr. Alan Riley to come forward to the stage, if he would please, and have a seat here on the stage with us. It gives me great pleasure on behalf of Dr. Margaret Chan, our Director General, to inform you that the Food Safety Authority of Ireland has been selected to receive the 2008 WHO Food Safety Award. As you know, this award serves to note the importance of health in food safety, and especially the importance of promotion of improving health through food safety, human health through food safety. The first WHO award was given in 2005 to Her Majesty Queen Sirikit of Thailand for the extraordinary work that she had done in establishing proper food safety in Thailand. But as we all know, food safety is not only a national issue, it's also an international issue. And it's one that the Food Safety Authority of Ireland has been very involved in during the past years since its establishment. Over the last decade, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland has actively assisted other countries in ensuring that they have reached the standards of food safety along the entire food chain, as have been reached in Ireland. Especially important was the response to the Enterobacter sakazaki outbreak in food, or the report of contamination in powdered milk several years ago. Immediately, Ireland stepped up, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland stepped up with other partners to help WHO prepare the appropriate guidance, both for the general public and for health workers, which was very important in dealing with this problem. A very important global issue, supported by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. It gives me great pleasure today to present the Food Safety Award to Dr. Riley on behalf of the Director General, not least because Alan worked with us in the past, and he was actually the source of knowledge that I was able to take away from our emerging infections program in the importance of health and food safety. Alan was also a strong advocate when he was with WHO of ensuring that we provide the appropriate funding as an organization to the partnership, to the FAO-WHO partnership for CODEX. And I think you can see that we have been able to maintain our contribution over the years. In order to make that contribution go even further, though, we need your help. We need the support of the Food Safety Authority of Ireland, and we need the help of the group in general to streamline our procedure so that we come more cost-effective in what we're doing as CODEX, and also so that we can provide this resource to strengthen developing country food safety authorities. So through this award, the Director General would like to recognize the national example and the international example set by the Food Safety Authority of Ireland. And again, it gives me great pleasure to present this award to Alan Riley, accepting it on behalf of the authority. I'm sure you would have all rather seen the Director General, who's much more photogenic than I, but unfortunately she was unable to come, but she does send her best wishes and her congratulations. So I would like now to turn the podium over to Alan, to Dr. Alan Riley, who will give us a few words of acceptance. Alan.
Thank you very much, Dr. Heyman. Mr. Chairman, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, the Food Safety Authority of Ireland is a very young organisation. The authority was one of the first of the new generation of national food safety agencies formed with a single clear vision, that of protecting consumers' health and consumers' interests. We were formally established in 1999, and tomorrow it is exactly 9 years to the day that we were assigned responsibility by the Irish government of coordinating the national enforcement of food regulations and for raising food safety standards. Today is a proud day for all those who have served in the Food Safety Authority and for those that are currently serving. From the beginning, we set ourselves a number of key goals: consumer protection, openness and transparency in all our activities, and underpinning our risk management decisions with a sound scientific basis for risk assessment. This has always not been an easy task. As a small country, Ireland can sometimes lack the critical mass of expertise and resources to undertake the broad range of detailed risk assessments that are necessary nowadays to judge the safety of many complex chemicals and microorganisms that find their way into the food supply. Faced with this continuously challenging and changing environment, we made it a key element of our strategy to participate and cooperate with international organizations such as WHO and FAO and the European Food Safety Authority in the development and harmonization of food safety standards. For us, there's no better way of achieving results than to actively participate in the work of the Codex Alimentarius Commission and to work in partnership with all stakeholders across the food chain. As we were one of the first single national food agencies that were established, we have attracted a good deal of interest from many countries and organizations. People are curious to know how a small country like Ireland can tackle some of the larger and more complex issues. At all times, we try to welcome such interest and to listen and to learn from our colleagues. It is particularly pleasing for us, therefore, that the 2008 Food Safety Award recognizes both our contribution to international collaboration and our efforts to assist others along the path, and quite a perplexing path sometimes, to food safety. We have much to learn from one another. At the Food Safety Authority, we believe that people are our greatest resource. This award is a tribute to the hard work and dedication of staff of the authority and of their willingness really to go that extra mile to get the job done. While the work is challenging, it can also be fun, and ensuring that we have a people-friendly organization is a priority for us. I'm really delighted, therefore, to accept this award on behalf of staff of the authority. I think this award is a tremendous mark of distinction for the Food Safety Authority of Ireland, especially as it comes from such an eminent and internationally respected organization as the World Health Organization. To be able to receive it today in front of this very important meeting of colleagues from so many different food safety agencies worldwide and distinguished international bodies makes it an added honour. I would like to thank the World Health Organization for being so kindly selecting the Food Safety Authority and honouring us with such a prestigious award. Gurv Mila Mohagiv, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, this ends the presentation ceremony for the WHO Food Safety Award, and you are all now cordially invited to retire to the main lobby for the reception hosted by the Assistant Director General of WHO, and please tomorrow we reconvene at 9:30 sharp. Thank you very much. Enjoy your evening.